Yesterday was New Year's Day and tomorrow is Christmas. Yesterday she was born and tomorrow she gets married. Yesterday you were a granddaughter and today you're a grandmother. Yesterday you read the funny papers and today you read the obituary. Have you realized the brevity of life lately? Have you realized yesterday 35 was old and today it's the heart of youth? Yesterday, he was in the junior choir. Today, he pastors a great church somewhere. Yesterday, she wore diapers. Today, she wears the same clothes you wear. You can't find them because she's always got them on. If she hadn't got them on, they're in the floor, and you can't find them under the stack of other stuff that would be in the floor if there were enough floor to take care of all of her clothes. Yesterday was the crib. Tomorrow is the casket. Yesterday you stood by his crib, tomorrow he stands by your sick bed. Yesterday you stood at the maternity window, tomorrow you stand at the wedding altar. Yesterday you taught him how to walk as he held on to you. Today he lets you walk as you hold on to him. Life's pretty short, folks. There's really not much to it. Yesterday, across my desk came a 2-page article with all the pictures that impressed me and excited me tremendously. Dr. Garagos, one of our men back here this morning, is one of the leading open-heart surgeons in this area. And there was a great article about open-heart surgery. And his picture was there, and somebody's chest cavity was open. I was talking to Dr. Garagos last Wednesday night about heart attacks. He said, "You don't have to worry about one." I said, "Why?" He said, "The Lord's going to take care of you." Boy, I sure was glad to hear that. There was a picture of Dr. Garagos operating. Here were the knives and forks over here on the side, and the silverware and so forth. And here was the chest open, and there was that little muscle about the size of your fist, they said, that keeps pumping that heart through your body. We're just barely alive, aren't we? And life is pretty short. I was thinking about this as I read that article. I thank God for Dr. Garagos. I'm glad he's given his life to the saving of the lives of others. But that's not enough. If that's all he did, he has not yet done all he ought to do. But I'm glad that that good man, the day before he has surgery, goes to his patient, sits down beside the bed or stands beside him and asks him how it is with his soul. Time and time again, he's won folks to Christ the day before he performed open heart surgery. What I'm trying to say is the day before one physician comes, the great physician comes. And he introduces them to the one who is the great physician. His life. What are you doing with your life? Oh, you say, "Preacher, I'm only 15 years of age. What have you done with 15 years? But you say, "I'm only 25. What have you done with your 25 years? But you say, "Preacher, I'm just in college." There are many people that never get through college. Many people who do not live their 25th birthday. I was reading this week of people who do not live past the age of 25. What is your life? I was looking up a while ago and saw Judge Clement up there. And I was thinking about his life. Boy, what a responsibility he has. People coming before his bench day after day. And there he has in his hands the future and the destiny of hundreds and thousands of people, no doubt, a year. That isn't the big thing. The big thing is that Judge Clement, up here this morning, goes down to his office early in the morning. And takes God's book and opens the book and reads it and asks God to give him wisdom and leadership as he does the chore and performs his duties for the day. What is your life? The Bible says in Job 7:6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Again, Job said in Job 9:25, "My days are swifter than a post." And in verse 26, he says, "They are passed away as swift ships, and as the eagles that hasteth to prey. Here's an eagle, a bird, fly across the sky, and you see it as it comes, and soon it's even with you. And then soon it's past you, and you wave goodbye to the eagle. And the Bible says life is like that. You look and say, here comes my life. I have all of it before me. I'm a junior high school student, or I'm a child in grade school, or I'm a high school student, or I'm a college student. I'm not yet married. Here comes my life. There goes my life, even as an eagle flying through the sky. In Job 14, verse 1, our Lord reminds us, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And in verse 2 he says, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. Here's a little flower that blooms in the springtime. And so soon that flower folds its petals and bows its head and soon is gone. Life is that way. Yesterday, an infant. Tomorrow, a senior citizen. Yesterday, beginning. Tomorrow, ending. And those of us who've lived more than half of our 70 or whatever God gives us, we can testify to every person in this room. Life is so brief. What you're going to do for God, do it now. You say, preacher, when I'm 25, I'm going to do something for God. You may not ever be 25. You say, preacher, whenever I get 30 or 35, I'm going to do something for God. You may never get 30 or 35. I was thinking this morning about, I don't know why these men, but I was thinking about Dr. Dennis Streeter and Dr. Cal Streeter. These men, Dr. Cal Streeter, one of the up-and-coming young surgeons of our area. Dennis Streeter is. Dr. Cal Streeter used to be on our pastoral staff. Now his internship. We'll finish it, I think, in a few days and be setting up an office here in this area. And I was thinking about them. Now, those men, they could say, this is my life. My life is healing the sick. My life is ministering to those in need. My life is trying to keep folks well. But that's not all they do. Both of these good doctors have bus routes. And they go up and down the street knocking on doors telling folks about Jesus Christ. What is your life? I say, what are you doing for God? The Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Life is a moment, it says. In 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. All the glory of man. Look at San Clemente this morning, where sits our ex-president Nixon. All his glory is gone. Almost all of his life is gone. Doesn't matter now that he was president of the United States. Doesn't matter now that he was vice president of the United States. Doesn't matter now that he's a wealthy man. Doesn't matter. But there is something that matters. What did he do for his God? That's all that really matters. What did you do for him? The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 90 and verse 9, we spend our days as a tale that is told. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it reminds us, we all do fade as a leaf. And in James chapter 4 and verse 14, what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. As I walked through the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, not long ago, church of my childhood, church where I was not called to preach and ordained and licensed to preach, and the church where I spent my teen years. I walked up and down those halls and looked at this building and that building and this window and that window and walked outside, looked around the church, and I said to myself, could it be that it's been 32 years since I sat on these pews? Could it be that it's been 32 years since I was a teenage boy here in this Sunday school? As I drove by the Baldstory Junior High School, place where I went to junior high school, played on the junior high basketball team and baseball team, was president of the senior class when I was a senior in Baldstory Junior High School. I drove around the school. I watched the building. I looked at the doors through which I entered. And I said to myself, could it be possible that it's been 37 years since I walked into this high school, junior high school? Could it be possible that it's been 37 years since I was here? As I drove around Adamson High School just a few months ago, school where I attended, Dallas, Texas, I could not realize it had been 33 years since I got my diploma. When I went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina recently, preached in Fayetteville near Fort Bragg, North Carolina, I drove out through the streets in Fort Bragg. I could not believe it had been 32 years since I was a paratrooper in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. 31, 32 years. I could not believe it had been almost a third of a century since I took my training in Fort Benning, Georgia, and jumped out of airplanes in the 82nd Airborne Division in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. As I drove one day down in East Texas where I pastored my first churches, I drove by a little church called the Grange Hall Baptist Church, a little frame building, been there for years. I walked up to see if the door was open. I wanted to go in and see the place and relive some old memories. I pulled the door. The door was locked. And you know how you'll knock on the door and nobody answered. And so I pulled it to rattle the door. When I rattled the door, I broke the lock and the door fell open. Walked in, some ladies were in there having wrong kind of refreshments in the auditorium. They boy, they were mad. What are you doing here? I said, breaking in. That's what I'm doing here. They said, this is Rebecca Lodge. Oh, my. Place where I had my first funeral. Place where I preached my first revival. Place where I baptized my first convert. Place where I preached my first sermons. Could it be 28 years has passed? Could it? Is Linda 18 years old? Is it true that Becky is married and is a pastor's wife and has two children of her own? Is it true? Is it true that David is grown and married? Is Cindy 16 years old and a senior in high school next year? Could it be true? Is that really my head of hair? I looked at a picture of me the other day. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. Could it be? You listen to me. Life is so brief. Now, because it is so brief, there are three preparations that I'm going to make. The first place, I'm going to prepare for my own soul's eternity. Life is the vestibule. Heaven is the building. Eternity is the building. Life is the introduction. Eternity is the book. Life is the hors d'oeuvres. Eternity is the meal. Life is the daybreak. Eternity is the eternal, endless day. Now you listen to me. If you have lived long enough to come to the realization that you're a sinner, if you've lived long enough to come to the realization that you're lost, if you've lived long enough to understand what we did a while ago, that blood of Jesus was shed for you, and that body was broken for you, and that death on the cross was bearing your sin in the body of Christ, and bearing your penalty, and your suffering, and your torment, and your hell. If you've lived long enough to know those things, and you've not yet come to the place in your life where you said, I'm going to receive Christ into my heart, you are of all men most miserable, and you are a failure as far as this life is concerned. Can you imagine anybody living for a few years on this earth with an entire eternity out yonder in the future and not taking time? Listen, it wouldn't take you 30 seconds to come to Christ this morning. It would not take you 30 seconds. Listen to it. Since I pushed my watch, in 5 seconds, you could have bowed your head and lifted your heart to God and said, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know Jesus died for me, and I received Christ into my heart today. You could have done it in 5 seconds. And yet you've lived 25 years and not taken 5 seconds to do the most important thing in your life. Prepare to meet your God. Some of you folks have lived 30 years and 35 years. And 40 years, and 45, and 50, or for that matter, 15 years, or 10 years. You weren't made. God did not make you just to come and have fun for 70. God did not make you to accumulate a lot of wealth and stack it upon heaps and build bigger barns and bigger barns. God didn't make you for that. God made you for Himself. God made you for Himself. And unless you've come to the place in your life where you've rightly related yourself with your God through Jesus Christ, His Son, You have not even yet fulfilled the primary purpose for your existence. 5 seconds this morning, you could look up with a sincere heart and say, "Oh my God, I'm lost and you're a Savior. I receive Christ as my Lord. Your name can be put in heaven. Your sins forgiven." If you sincerely make your decision for God, and you could know in your heart if you died, you'd go to heaven. God has given us so many days to get ready, and soon He calls us home. Accidents are God's arrangements. Diseases are His decrees. Fevers are His servants, and plagues are His messengers. And God will overtake you sooner or later with one of those. And your life will be taken, and mine will be taken. It won't be long till someone else will stand behind this pulpit and sit in this chair. It won't be long till someone else will erect this choir. It won't be long till these lips shall be stilled and this tongue shall be quietened. It won't be long till this voice will not be heard from this pulpit anymore. It won't be long till someone else will sit in these chairs in the choir. Someone else will fill the pews in the audience, and someone else will take the offering, and someone else will sing the solos. It won't be long. I don't know about you, brother and sister, but I'm going to fulfill the purpose for my being here while I'm here. My life is like a flower. I want to let it be. I want my petals to show for Jesus. If my life is going to be just like a blade of grass, I want every bit of my grass to show for Jesus. If my life is like the eagle that flies across the sky, I want my wings to flap for Jesus. If my life is like the weaver's shuttle, I want my shuttle to move for Jesus. If my life is like a vapor, I want my vapor to appear for Jesus. If my life is just like a fleeting moment, I want that much. If I have 10 years, I want those years to be given to God. If I have a 70 years, I want those 70 years to be given to God. There's a second preparation other than preparing to meet God as far as your soul salvation is concerned. By the way, are you ready to meet God? Huh? If you died today, would you go to heaven, teenager? If you died today, would you go to heaven, young man? Oh, but you say, "I'm too busy making money." Then you're too busy. But you say, "I'm too busy getting an education." Then you're too busy. But you say, "I'm too busy having fun." You're too busy. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? But you say, "Preacher, I have plenty of time. My Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. And he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." My Bible says. There's a second preparation that I must make while I'm here, whether it's 70 or 70 or 10. Second preparation that I must make is not only for my soul salvation, but I need to prepare for heaven. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I thought you mentioned that a while ago." No, I mean prepare for heaven. You say, "Preacher, that's the being saved." No, I mean prepare for heaven. Now, I think you ought to prepare to go to heaven, but I want to prepare for heaven. There are people in this room who won't enjoy heaven very much. You know why? You don't enjoy coming to church on Wednesday night. You don't care about the Bible study. You think all of a sudden you're going to enjoy the Bible when you get to heaven? You wouldn't get... You'd watch I Love Lucy. I don't know what's on anymore. Listen, I want to tell you something. I want to make a little parenthesis statement here. Monday night I was in New York City. I was supposed to be in Uruguay, and I got hung up in New York City. I got through with my business there about 8 o'clock, and I turned on the television set in my room. "Sit down, son. Be still." I turned the television set on in my room, and I want to make an announcement. I don't know about Tuesday night. I've not watched the television program in the evening hours in almost 9 years. Are you listening to me? I don't know what's on Tuesday night. And I don't know what's on Wednesday night. And I don't know what's on Thursday night. And I don't know what's on Friday night. And I don't know what's on Saturday night. And I don't know what's on Sunday night. But I know one thing. I know not a member of this church ought to watch television on Monday night. That I know. I just went from channel to channel. It's as rotten as hell. And I'm not cursing. I mean H-E-L-L. The vulgar, filthy, vile place. I mean it. I never saw anything like it in my life. I'm not going to... Listen, I only have so many ticks on my clock. I only have so many beats of this heart. I'm not going to spend one night watching a bunch of filthy garbage that's so temporal and so sensuous as hell itself. I'm going to spend my life living it for God and living it for somebody else. I want to say this. I want to prepare to go to heaven, but I want to prepare also to enjoy heaven. I want to read the rules, learn the book. I want to learn the songs and feel the joys. Let's suppose, Brother Fisk, you know anything about tennis? You don't. Do you know what 40 love means? Okay. Let's suppose you and I go to a tennis match. And so the fellow serves, and he makes this point. And the man says, 15, love. And Brother Fisk says, 15 can't love. Take 16 or 14. It's got to be an even number. Another match goes, 30, love. Brother Fisk said, boy, more folks are loving around here. And it's catching. 15 a minute ago, and now it's 30. But I say, the fellow who served is 2 points ahead. Two more points, he wins this game. He serves again. 30, 15. Brother Fisk said, now they quit loving. Deuce. Brother Fisk says, what's going on? Now, he doesn't enjoy the match like I do. We're sitting side by side. We're watching the same tennis players. We paid the same thing to get in. We're in the same place. Who's enjoying it the most? I'm enjoying it the most. Why? I know tennis. And bless your heart, brother, I don't know about you, but I am going to do my best to learn this book so I can enjoy heaven more. And I'm going to learn to love God's people so I can enjoy heaven more. And I'm going to learn to have fellowship with God's people so I can enjoy heaven more. And I'm going to ask God to help me to grow in His grace so I can enjoy heaven more. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for God will last. There's a third thing I want to do. I want to prepare for heaven as far as getting there. I want to prepare for heaven as far as enjoying it when I get there. But I want to prepare for heaven and preparing others to go. I'm not going to fritter my life away. People oftentimes, well, how's you going to crack up? I'd rather crack up than do what most of you folks do to keep from it. And I'll say another thing, too. You compare, you folks have all your play. You compare it with me, and you pop more pills than I do, I'll guarantee you that. I sleep better than you do. I'm simply saying, I only have one life to live. I'll be 50 years old September 25th. Don't forget it. September 25th. Underline it. September 25th. Write it down. I'll be 50. If I have 80, I have 20 more years. I'm not going to play them away. I'm not going to eat them away. I'm not going to nary them away. I'm going to take every day I have and squeeze it. Every moment I have and squeeze it. Every minute the clock ticks, I'm going to squeeze it. And I'm going to say, for the grace of God, only one life that God has given me. I will not pass this way again. I'll not preach on this Sunday again. I'll not stand this pulpit on this day again. I only have one time to live today. I only have 1 minute to live this minute, 1 hour to live this hour, 1 day to live this day, 1 year to live this year. I'm going to take my little year. I'm going to cram everything I can into that year for God and for good and for others. When I face my God, I'm not going to say I laughed it through or played it through. Far too many Christians eating and drinking and marrying and getting in marriage and buying and selling. We ought to get eternity in our minds. 30 years ago, I began something that I've been doing now for 30 years. I turned 20, and the week before I was 20, I sat down and thought about my life. I was sort of a serious-minded kid. And I thought about my life. I thought, what can I do with the years that I have left? And I said, dear God, they're yours. They're yours. I was a quiet fellow. I was an introvert. I was timid. But I said, dear God, they're yours. And I planned the direction of my life. I believe that God wanted me to be a preacher. I decided to prepare myself to preach. 10 years later, the week before I was 30, I came to another crisis. I don't know if you recall the day you were 30. That's one of the hardest days in the world. Some of you folks can't remember that far back. Some of you ladies have been waiting to turn 30 for 15, 20 years. But I recall that week before I turned 30. And I had introspection. I gave serious thought to my life. And I made some goals. And I recall 10 years ago, this year, the night before I was 40, I always stay up till midnight every 10 years. Because I want to enjoy every minute of that decade. At just before midnight, 10 years ago, I got on my face in my basement. I said, "Dear God, in a few minutes I'll be 40. What should I do with my life?" Before me that night, I had 22 invitations for citywide revivals. 22. I mean cities like Detroit, Michigan. Citywide meetings, 150 churches cooperating. Cobo Hall. I had invitation for citywide revival in Phoenix, Arizona. Denver, Colorado. Jacksonville, Florida. Flint, Michigan. Jackson, Michigan. Dallas, Texas. I had 22 invitations. I said, "God, is this what you want me to do?" I had a seminary that asked me to come be president. I had a college that asked me to do the same thing. I had two letters like that. I said, "God, is that what you want me to do? I only have one life to live. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it." And I prayed. I went upstairs and woke up Dave. He came down to the basement. I said, "Doc." He was almost 13. I called him Doc. I said, "Doc, Dad's praying tonight about his future. I don't know what to do with my life. I've got over 1,000 speaking invitations right here. 22 citywide revivals, college, a seminary. What do I do?" And that night I made God a vow that I'd travel the length and breadth of this country and try to save it and try to reach preachers. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. And that night, Howells Anderson College was built, I think. That night, Hammond Baptist High School was started, I think. That night, Hammond Baptist Grade School was started, I think. That night, dozens of books were written, I think. But I made God a vow. I made God a vow that I'd cover this country and try to reach every preacher I could. Dr. Smith, last year I preached to 32,000 preachers in America, different preachers, 32,000. I believe that's what God wanted me to do, to serve the preachers. Oh, how we need churches like this and like the People's Church in every village and city and hamlet and countryside and neighborhood in America. Listen, Mr. Ford, he can get it, or if Mr. Reagan gets it, or if Mr. Carter gets it, or if Mr. Udall gets it, or if Mr. Brown gets it, that won't matter. If we can get a generation of old-fashioned, Bible-believing, soul-winning, Christ-honoring, God-fearing, hell, fire, and brimstone judgment preachers again, we can spare this old nation for God. And I made God a vow. I'd go. I've not been at home a night since that night, during the hours of 7 to 10. I've preached over 3.5 sermons a day since that night. Pastor's school was found. I found it, I think, that night. I made God another vow because I felt like God wanted me to do this. If God will let me, I'd like to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond the rest of my life. I have no place I want to go. At that time, we had about 2,000 people attendance. Now this great crowd of people in this auditorium that the Pew People Furniture Company said would seat 5,000, I doubt if it'll seat quite that. This just only represents about a third of our entire attendance this morning. I made God a vow that night that I'd write books and try to leave what I could for those who came after. And now in a few days, I'll go to a hillside, or I'll go alone in a closet, or maybe I'll go to the basement again, and I'll look back over 50 years and look forward to 20, 30, 5, I don't know how many. But I'll re-examine my life and look back at my life and look forward toward the future. And I'll say, oh my God, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deed that I have done, for there will be no setting sun. Each day I'll do a golden deed while helping those who are in need. While traveling last weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? What, young people, what is your life? Adults, what is your life? Waste it if you want to. Play it away. Spend your life. Some young folks, choosing a college. Now get this. Choosing a college on the basis of a blown up pig.
They got a football team there. I want to go there.
Now, I'm not against football, but you're an idiot to choose a college because of football. Don't you laugh while I'm preaching. Some of you are choosing a college because of a horse killed and stuffed and hit with a stick over a pasture to a fence. I love baseball. If I didn't, I wouldn't pull for these sorry Cubs for 17 miserable, wretched years. I love baseball. Baseball is only a little salt in life. Football is only a little seasoning if I need to get some exercise in order to get more strength and a clearer mind so I can serve God better. I'll play a little ball along the way, but I'm going to give my life, my soul, my heart, my days, my years, my minutes, my hours, service of my Lord. What is your life? What is your life? This morning, you're God's child. Give your life anew to give everything you can to God and do everything you can for God. Morning, if you've never taken that time to take those 5, 10, 20, 30 seconds to lift your heart to God and bow your head and say, oh my God, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I beg you, don't live and die and miss it all. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, oh my, such a pity. Hundreds of people in this room this morning, living lives just to buy and sell and eat and drink and marry and giving in marriage. Nothing eternal in view. Just the temporal. Just a few laughs. Just a few television programs. Just a few games to play. Just a few parties to attend. And yet 2/3 of the world is hungry today. Far most of the world never heard the story of Christ today. Less than 15 miles from where I stand now, there are probably 2 million people that don't know even how to go to heaven. Oh my God, we beg for bus workers and folks are too busy playing. We beg for bus workers and folks are too busy eating and drinking and partying and laughing and playing. I pray you take my people this morning and in these days shake my people to a sense of eternity. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. What does it say? What is your life today? Is it a beacon to guide the way? Is it like sunrise that brings a new day? Does it help others over life's way? What is your life today? And this morning, if you're here and you've never taken time to prepare to meet your God, I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I'm here this morning, but I don't know that I'm saved. I'm here this morning, but I do not know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Brother Howells, I wish I did know it. I want to know it. I believe in heaven, and I want to go to heaven. But I've never taken time to make preparation. Brother Howells, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I want to know that I'm going to heaven, but I don't know it now. Very quietly on the lower floor, would you lift your hand up high and I'll pray for you. Lift it way up high. On the main floor, God bless you. Who else on the main floor? Lift it way up high. God bless you, little lady. God bless you. On the main floor, God bless you, young man. On the main floor, God bless you. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? Who'd say, Brother Howells, pray for me. I've never taken time to settle this matter of my soul. Pray for me. God bless you, little lady. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you, sir, back in the back. God love you, sir. Who else on the lower floor would say, include me when you pray? God bless you, little lady. No one is looking, please. Who else? God bless you. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor would say, Brother Hiles, I could not say for sure I'm going to heaven, but I wish I could. God bless you. I see, young lady. Who else? Raise it way up high. On the lower floor. On the lower floor. Let's go upstairs. Who in the balcony would say, when you pray, would you include me? I want to know that I'm saved. Use your eyes right here. Yes, God bless you up here. God bless you, sir, on my left. Who else would say, include me when you pray? God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Yes, God love you. And God bless you, sir. I see you. Yes, God bless you, sir. I guess a dozen men in the balcony have already raised their hands, grown men. Who else would say, include me when you pray? Upstairs in the balcony, I do not know that I'm going to heaven. God bless you. I see your hand. Brother Howells, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved, but I don't know that I am. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you, fella. Who else? God bless you, lady. God bless you. God bless you on my right. Who else upstairs? Pray for me, Brother Hiles, when you pray. Pray for me when you pray. God bless you up here. Yes, I see you. God bless you way on the back row upstairs. And God bless the little lady in front of him. I see you. Who else would say, pray for me when you pray? I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to be a Christian. God knows I do. Would you lift your hand upstairs, please? Heavenly Father, there are many others whose hands were not raised. I pray for them as well as for these. Oh, my God, what a tragedy it is for a person to live and die and never get ready to live forever, for he'll never die. How tragic. How tragic. I pray that these this morning shall make that one decision that'll make life a preparation for eternal life. I pray they'll say yes to Jesus. Now heads are bowed. You folks that raised your hands, this is for you, or if you should have and did not, the choir is going to sing in a few minutes. All to Jesus I surrender. When they sing it, I'm going to have some experts down here at the front. Men who know their Bibles well enough to show you the roadmap to heaven. Men who can take the Word of God and open the Word of God and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. So I want you to leave your seat when we begin singing. I want you to come, if you're upstairs, to the nearest set of stairs. We have 7 sets of stairs. You find the most convenient for you. Come down those stairs, down to the main floor, and down the aisle to the front. If you're on the main floor, you just find the nearest aisle and come down to the front. And we have people, men, that can take their Bibles and show you the best news you've ever heard in your life. How that you, mortal man, can become immortal. How that you, bent for death, can go to a place where nobody ever dies. I want you to come. Then if you've already trusted Jesus but have not yet made it public, I want you to come. If you need to join this church by transfer, I want you to come. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Shall we stand, please? The choir's going to sing on the first stanza, way back in the back of the balcony up here, way back up here in the corner, way, way back yonder, and over here on this side, way back up here, and all over here several. I want you, when the choirs begin singing the first word of the first stanza, I want you to explode toward these aisles and down the front. And make that decision that'll make you ready to meet your God as far as your soul salvation is concerned. No one will leave, of course. You come now.